Right, invite you to turn in your Bibles to our text. We're going to begin with Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at quite a number of other passages as well. And hoping that the sound is okay. Could we get some kind of feedback from those who are on Zoom? Is the sound okay? Just let us know.
Yes, it's good. Can you hear
Better.
us?
Before it was too low in here. Yeah.
Okay. You say it's okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. You can mute your yes, go
I
ahead.
think just I could say when Rolandito speaks, maybe he we can't hear very well for some reason. But when you speak, we hear better.
That's good. Okay. All
Okay.
right. Thank you. Now you can mute your microphones and we'll continue to study God's word. All right. Would you turn with me, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 2, as I mentioned before, and just listen and follow along in your Bible as I read it aloud for us. Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. If you listen to the first message in this series on building a holy temple, the temple to which I refer in this series is not a physical building, but rather a spiritual building made up of God's people, a true local church. Yet every biblical local church has a unique and individual fragrance and beauty that distinguishes it from every other biblical local church. I say fragrance and beauty because that is what God desires his church to display to the world for his glory. However, this requires each member, each individual building stone, if you will follow this biblical analogy, to be imbued with the beauty and fragrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. When there is corruption on one stone, there begins to be included in the overall fragrance of that building an unpleasant odor, and an increasingly ugly blotch mars the beauty of the building. If the corruption is allowed to spread, it begins to damage the very integrity of the building itself. So the crucial question each of you must honestly and prayerfully ask yourself these days is this: what kind of building stone am I? If in the course of this message or in your personal prayer and Bible study time later this week, you discover an area of corruption in your heart and life, will you, by God's grace and his enablement, confess it and forsake it? Only then can our local church, this holy temple, this spiritual building in progress, be to the glory of his grace. Let's examine first the foundation. Would you turn in your Bibles with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? We're going to be looking at quite a number of passages, as you can see in your bulletin, the additional scripture listed for you there. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 17. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it is to be revealed by fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Notice the identity of the foundation and cornerstone. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, as verse 11 clearly declares. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the source and the goal. He is the living Word, and the written Word, the Bible, is the revelation of Himself. Notice John's reference to the Lord Jesus as the Word in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice that the word is capitalized, as the New American Standard Bible helps us by referring that as deity, as God. In verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And notice how the Lord Jesus points out that the written word testifies of him in John chapter 5, in verse 39. Here the Lord Jesus says this: you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. He was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees who were focused on the word. It's not bad to focus on the word, it's the word of God. But they were focused on the word as just inanimate object and not on the fact that it testified about the Lord Jesus, the Messiah who was to come. So everything we read in God's word is pointing to the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Notice next the indispensability of the foundation and cornerstone. Without a proper foundation, any building breaks apart and topples with time, as we can see from examples around us in the physical world. With that principle in mind, everything we believe and practice must be solidly based on the written word and daily dependence on the living word for Jesus Christ. The builder must follow the pattern of the foundation in finishing the building. You don't lay a foundation like this and then start building all over the place somewhere else. No, the building must follow the foundation. Everybody understand that, right? Okay, that's simple physics. Okay. And so in the sense of building the living temple of which we are a part, the same hold true. The builder must follow the pattern of the foundation in finishing the building. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The Holy Spirit will guide us by means of his written word. I think that you have picked up on the fact that our emphasis here at Faith Baptist Church is the Bible. The Bible is our foundation. The Bible is our guide. The Bible is our light. And therefore, we must always go to the Bible. It doesn't matter what I say or anybody else says, unless it follows the Bible. And this is why you can always go to the Bible to check everything to see whether it is according to what God wants, as the Berean Christians did in the book of Acts. Now, Christ must be the center of and reason for everything we do. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. For by him all things were created, speaking of the Lord Jesus, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he is the one who created. Interesting that we understand that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first verse of the Bible says, and yet it is in the person of the Son who spoke everything into existence. So the Lord Jesus, God the Son, is the one who created everything. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We've understood, according to science, that there's something that holds every atom together. They don't know what it is, but it's very interesting to me that it is actually the Lord Jesus Christ and his power that holds everything together, every atom on this earth and in the universe is held together by his power. This is why, as we look in 2 Peter and we see when everything will dissolve, all it takes is for the Lord to just say, you know what? Don't hold together anymore. And then every atom will fly apart. You've got the most incredible universal hydrogen bomb, atomic bomb, whatever you want to call it. Notice here, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Verse 18, he is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. So apart from him, we can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5 tells us, through him we can do all things, as Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 reminds us. So let's examine secondly the living stones. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read that for us again. So why don't you turn there, follow along with your eyes as your ears hear it as well. First Peter chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Living stones obviously are alive. They're not inanimate objects. We are not zombies or robots. We have the ability and responsibility to respond to the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. We can work with the master builder and take our necessary place in the building. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17? We're told there, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who would give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 5, not too far away from Hebrews, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The verb translated here as be subject is a form of the Greek verb hupostasso, meaning to arrange in a military fashion under the command of a leader. So living stones are alive. We have something we are supposed to do. We are supposed to obey the Lord's commands. Living stones are also growing. They're not unchangeable blocks of granite that don't change size, they don't change in any way. But actually, living stones are growing. This building is actually growing as the individual stones themselves grow. This building becomes more beautiful and fragrant as the individual stones take on the beauty and fragrance of Christ. Living stones are meant to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, as we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, as well as verse 9. In fact, let me go ahead and read that for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, how are you proclaiming the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light? Are you cooperating with the Holy Spirit in His work of transforming your life since you were saved? Does your changed holy life proclaim the excellencies of your wonderful Savior? Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Lord Jesus said this: let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Are you giving Christ the credit for His transforming work in your life since you were saved? When someone mentions the change in you, are you giving your testimony of salvation and change like the people you meet when you have an opportunity to converse with them? Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, the Lord Jesus said this: therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 8, the Lord Jesus said this: and I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. What a blessing. Now, let's examine thirdly the wise builders. Let's turn in our Bibles to a passage we read earlier in the message, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. Notice first the master builder. In the context of this passage, this refers to the pastor of each biblical local church. His position is assigned by the owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's building, which means Christ is the owner of it. The pastor's leadership is recognized and confirmed by God's people. When God chooses a man, he gives his people the ability to recognize his chosen man. By the way, this is why it's so important for the local church to be autonomous, that is, independent. Instead of having a pastor forced upon them from some higher denominational hierarchy, each local church has the responsibility to prayerfully seek God's provision of a pastor and wisdom to recognize the man God has chosen for them as their master builder and under shepherd. The pastor's task is to follow God's master plan for his church. He must coordinate the other builders under him to follow God's plan. The pastor's enabling comes from daily dependence on the Lord. As we see in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Notice, secondly, the other builders. These would include assistant pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, dads, moms, etc. Notice the we in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, and the other builders named in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, whose task is to equip the saints for the Lord's service by teaching them the word of God and how to apply it to their lives in a practical way. If you're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So let's examine, fourthly and finally, the perfect cement. Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3, begin reading in verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Notice the need for cement in building. Even with physical stones, the lack of cement will not allow a structure to grow very high. Loose stone walls or stone fences are simply piles of stones in a row. They can be no higher than the width of a pile, or else they are easily toppled over. How many have ever seen a stone fence? Okay. Notice as we visited several individuals in New England, especially New Hampshire, we noticed that a lot of stone fences, ancient stone fences, probably 200 years old, and those stone walls or stone fences were not cemented. They were just stones placed one on the other. And the ones that were still standing were because it was more of a pyramid shape, where there's a lot of big stones in the bottom and smaller ones going up, and that's the only reason they didn't topple over. But you can't have the same size stone, one on top of the other, without it being easily toppled without cement. So this kind of wall cannot be used to build a house. There would be no useful space inside if they were made up of loose piles of stone that were like a long pyramid. So even a skillful builder chose his stones carefully and built a house with high typical vertical walls without the use of cement Well, the slightest earth tremor or even accidental shove of the walls would bring the whole structure crashing down. How many would like to live in a house with no cement in the stones? Oh, okay, no hands, that's good. You're smart. Right. How much greater the need is for cement with living stones, which have a tendency to move and change shape and grow or shrink? Try to follow that analogy here. Notice the nature of the cement in this building. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect, what's the next word? Bond. Put in the word cement. Something that sticks things together, the perfect bond of unity. The bond or cement is love. Here's the Greek word agape, referring in the context of this passage to godly, self-sacrificing, selfless love. This bond, literally bond of unity, will cement together every living stone, every believer who is part of this building, this holy temple. Godly love is the perfect spiritual cement for several reasons. It is emphasized beyond all these things and commanded by God, put on love. Godly love is a product of the Holy Spirit as the believer allows him full control. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. In other words, the cement is produced in the stones themselves by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Are you allowing that to happen in your life? This production of this spiritual cement will come to a halt if you quench the Holy Spirit by harboring bitterness or pride or any other sins. Godly love produces in the believer a consistent Christ-like attitude toward others. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians 13, verse 4, love, this agape love, is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a few minutes before we close in prayer? I'd like to repeat the question I posed at the beginning of this message. Christian, would you ask yourself right now, what kind of building stone am I? Am I a living stone growing, proclaiming the praises of my Savior, producing the cement of godly love by submitting to the Holy Spirit's control? Am I ready? Willing to arrange myself under the leadership God has placed in my life with a wholehearted desire to bring glory and praise to my Lord and Savior? If you could not honestly answer yes to these last two questions, then what is hindering you from being the right kind of building stone in God's temple? Whatever the Lord is showing you, would you respond to Him? Confess your failure to be what he wants you to be and commit yourself to be the right kind of living stone in his temple by his enabling power. Perhaps you're listening to this message and you're not 100% sure that you are born again. You're not 100% sure that all of your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. And that you have eternal life. You're not 100% sure that if you were to die today or next week or next year, that you would go straight to heaven. If you recognize yourself in this description, I plead with you not to delay any longer. Would you make sure you come to Christ for his full and free salvation? I would consider it a privilege and joy to help you in this life-changing step of repentance and faith in Christ. Please talk with me after the service, or if you're listening to this message later on our website, please contact me. Contact information is there. I'll be glad to help you come to Christ for salvation, sin, and hell. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the physical pictures that you give us in our mind to be able to understand spiritual truth, the analogies that you give us that help us to focus on important principles, important details in our spiritual lives. Father, as we understand this analogy of a temple made up of living stones of individual believers, we realize that there are so many applications that we need to take from this. Pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts. If there's anyone here who is listening, who is saved, they know that all of their sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. They know they belong to you, that they'll be with you forever, eternity. But yet, the Holy Spirit is convicting them that there's something in their lives that is preventing them from cementing with the other stones in your temple, that is preventing them from bringing forth the beauty of our Savior, that is preventing the fragrance of our Lord from being sensed in their lives. Lord, I pray that whatever it is that is preventing that, hindering them, that you would put your finger of conviction on that so that they can repent and trust you for the enablement to change. Father, I pray that you would do your work in every heart. Father, for any who are not sure that they are saved, or they are pretty certain they're not, Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in their hearts, that they would not forget their need, Lord, that you would help them to follow through and talk to me or some other born-again Christian who can show them from the Bible how to be saved, how to make sure. Lord, I pray that you would do your work of grace in every heart for your glory until you return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.